are, how we magnify your holy name. Wonderful Lord. We praise you for the blood of the cross. We praise you, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed. We praise you, Jesus, for dying on the behalf of every man, woman, boy, and girl, for being raised up, and for your mighty power. Lord, we know you are in control of this world today. Praise you for everyone who's here, Lord. Bless them and their families. Answer prayer. Help us, Lord, to know what you're saying to the churches. Jesus, we need to know what you are saying to the churches. We pray that we may, the Holy Spirit will teach us, that we will have ears to hear, that we will be true Christians, true saints. Hallelujah. Remove from us, lift from us all that comes short of the glory of God. Forgive us our many sins, Lord, as we freely forgive those who sin against us. And grant that we may ever be seeking to please God in lifting up Jesus, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We'll read those together. All right, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And here we go. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, we studied last week on this great organism called the vine, also called the church, also called the body of Christ, also called the wife or bride of the Lamb, also called the New Jerusalem, and also called the Kingdom of God. Now, this is a very highly to be sought after position, to be a member of the Christian church, of the Church of Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 2, we don't see the Church of Jesus Christ. What we see are the churches on earth. So he doesn't say unto the angel, the Church of Christ. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, you say, how do you know it is not the church of Christ? Because the church of Christ is perfect. We turn to Ephesians 5. Interestingly enough, the first church, the church of Ephesus. We turn to Ephesians 5, and we read in verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. holy and without blemish. Now, we have grown accustomed to compromising the standards of Christianity, so much so that we imagine all kinds of things concerning what Christ will accept. But the Word of God will not change. Christ has made it possible for you and for me to be holy and without blemish. He didn't ask us to do it. He asked us to have faith that He could do it. And not by imputation either, but in actual practice and behavior and being and character. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we have this word, 13, Ephesians 4, till we all come, that is, all members of the one church, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The church is one. It has no reference whatsoever to denominations. It is the true Christian saint, blood washed, born again, and who has jumped the hoops and run the race. Now in Revelation 21, we find the extraordinary heights to which the church, the wife of the Lamb, will be elevated. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. Revelation 22, last chapter in the Bible. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. This is the face of the Father, which probably is the greatest word in the Bible, because this is a privilege so awesome, so above and beyond anything we can comprehend at this time, that we can only recognize that it's there and believe it. And His name shall be in their foreheads. Now, I'm talking here of every single member of the church. Every member. Remember, it is the holy Jerusalem, the holy city. You cannot enter into it with any sin whatsoever. You remember the stipulations. And His name shall be in their foreheads, in verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign. Now, that's where the kingdom comes in. All these refer to some aspect of our relationship to salvation. Here's our relationship to Jesus Christ. He's the vine, and we grow out from Him. Our fruit comes from Him and not from our own striving. The church means that we have been called out from the world by divine election. In other words, God called us out from the world like He did Abraham. The body of Christ means that is referring about Messiah, the servant of the Lord. That the servant of the Lord has a head and a body. Messiah has a head and a body. The bride of the Lamb speaks of the fact that we are in eternal love union with Jesus, belonging peculiarly to Him forever. The New Jerusalem means that it is located on the earth, that it is the original concept of Israel that God has started, the ruling city in the earth, the chosen people. The New Jerusalem is the context of the chosen people and the place of the throne of David. Remember, Jesus said in Revelation 22, I am the bright and morning star, the root and offspring of David, because God promised David that His son would sit upon His throne forever. And finally, the concept of the kingdom of God is that these people who finally manage to maintain their place in the church rule the creation forever. They are all rulers, every one of them. The least is as David. The least is as David. The least, the least, the least is greater than John the Baptist. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign. They shall reign. Their purpose is to rule, the handiwork of God. These are the sons of God that we studied in Hebrews, the second chapter. God bringing many sons unto glory. They shall rule forever and ever. Now, this new Jerusalem is the wife of the Lamb, according to Revelation 21. It is the kingdom of God, the ruling portion of God's creation, married to Christ, the fullness of Christ, called out from the world, and ruling and bearing fruit, not by themselves, but they having died on the cross, in experiencing the cross and discipleship, being willing to die to self. Oh, that's the big death today, saints. Oh, that's the big death today. Oh, as we see God giving power to His church, we see people misinterpreting what God wants. God gives us power. It's like holding a carrot in front of a donkey. But the path leads to death. And no human being can be trusted with God's power until he has been crucified in actual discipleship. So part of our now I'm going to use the word maintaining again, maintaining our position in this marvelous organism that we do not see in the earth whatsoever, the mess that obtains is, I'm tempted to say manure. The basis, or the ore, like Madame Curie got radium from pitchblende. It's the source out of which God will distill His church. Praise the Lord. Now, the standards are exceedingly high. You remember Peter said, the righteous scarcely are saved. 1 Peter 4. However, God did not give me this message, and I believe the message is of the Lord, to discourage the saints. The purpose is not to discourage us whatsoever. If you get discouraged, don't get discouraged, because the power is of God. The concept is that the calling of what it means to be a member of the Christian church, of the body of Christ, is so much higher than ordinarily is presented. It requires so much more that God wants to alert us today, because He's shifting gears. He's calling for more. He is pruning the vine, and He is also pruning the branches. And I've had more than one Christian come to me and come to Audrey and me over the last month who is in despair. And some of them are in despair, and they're losing out because the demands upon them, as God is bringing them further and wants to bring them further, they are losing their faith. They are losing their faith. And some have espoused this and are saying, oh, I'm no good, and I know that I should believe God, but I can't, and I'm hoping to curry pity. But this is not a pity game. And you won't get pity from people, maybe a little bit, who would help you if they possibly can. But you'll get no pity from God with that attitude. Because God never will ask you to do anything that He will not give you the power to do. But what He does not want to hear, I can't make it, or I won't go, or anything. All He wants you to do is to say, Lord, help me. Help me. And at least speak faith. Many of the saints are going down today because they're speaking and thinking negatively. And I am not a preacher of prosperity, and I am not a preacher of positive thinking whatsoever. I have no fellowship with that. But nonetheless, we have to do what the Bible says, and the Bible says to think on the things that are lovely and pure and true and righteous, and we have to just take the Word of God and state it positively and with faith without equivocation. Not so that we can work miracles and accrue things to ourselves, but simply so that we can stand. It's a question of standing. The Bible is teaching us to stand. And as the pruning knife comes to prune both the vine and the branches, we, our position and our responsibility is to stand. What's being contested is what we already have. We are not called to the attack yet. We will be called to the attack in Armageddon. What is happening now consists of qualifying races, eliminations, as in the Olympics, where you have a great body start out and they have trials and eliminations. And that's why Paul spoke of running the race and gaining the crown. We are in a race, saints. And every person in this room can end up in Revelation 22 in this place. But in order to do so, two things must be true. One, we must lift our sights higher than has ever been preached. And by that I don't mean that we're trying to strive beat ourselves or to fast and pray and excel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we've got to realize that what God has called us is to an unblemished bride. And God is not content in saying, oh, well, they can't make it and they're poor children. The Bible standard is there. And secondly, we have got to receive the fact and accept the fact that we are crucified with Christ. And this world is crucified to us. And we are crucified to it. And there is no place where we are going to attain or maintain our position in the bride and at the same time hold on to some part of our life and not surrender. Whether it be in the realm of forgiving a person, whether it be in the realm of enduring suffering or of patience or perseverance or courage, all of these are components of faith, and we overcome the world through faith. And so God is saying to us tonight that we need to get ready. Our nation is heading for chaos and judgment, and we can stand, but it is going to require all the Christianity that we possess and then some. We can do it, saints. We can do it, but we must not compare ourselves with the slipshod, indolent, pleasure-loving, lust-filled mess that it occupies the pews of the churches. You say you don't love the church people. God called me to love Him and feed the sheep. Did you catch that? That was fast. All right. What is true love? You know what my true love for you is? To tell you what God has said. And I will not be among those who give the people what they want. I'm going to give you what I think that God is saying. And then you pray. God is measuring us against the saints of all generations through the dark ages, the people that have loved the Lord and laid down their lives for Him. Not with the flip-flop shambles that is going on, the pleasure-loving, entertain the people mess. I'm not blaming a soul. I'm telling you that God is calling us to higher ground. And we can do it, but we must not feel sorry for ourselves. If you feel sorry for yourself, you cry in your own beer, because there's nobody going to feel sorry for you, I'll tell you that. Especially not the Lord. You know what the Bible says? It says, pull up your diapers and carry on. That's a translation where it says, gird up your loins. Praise the Lord. And we can do it too. And we don't need pity. And we don't need sympathy. But sometimes we need a spark of faith and prayer and just a sheer willingness to just believe God and just gird up our loins and press on with the Lord. And we can do it, because the calling is high. As Paul said, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to speak to you about the concept of maintenance. I don't know as I've ever heard this preach, Fred, but it was something that exploded. It just exploded in my vision about 2 weeks ago when we were studying John 15, verse 2. I saw it. I never saw it before. I guess I did and I didn't. You know how that goes. But John 15, 2, he's talking about pruning the vine. A little bit later, he talks about pruning the branches. But right here, he's talking about pruning the vine itself. And in John 15, 2, he says, every branch in me. Now, any branch in Christ is a part of the vine of the kingdom of God, of the church. If you're in Christ, you'll be raised when the trumpet sounds. The dead in Christ shall rise. But he says, every branch in me, now this is a Christian, this is a member of the true and only church, that bears not fruit, he taketh away. That's a pruning of the vine. We've had doctrines that say he won't do it. The Bible says he will. The Bible says he will. I wouldn't fuss with anybody about doctrine for all the tea in China. But I will preach the Word of God. And as the Lord, then as the Lord led me to Revelation where we are tonight, chapter 2, I noticed a parallel thought. In 2, verse 5, he said, or else I will come unto thee and will remove thy lampstand. That's the same thought, exactly. It's the idea of having something and losing it. I will remove thy lampstand. Now, then other scriptures begin to go through my mind. In Hebrews 3, for example, it says, we are made partakers of Christ, speaking to Christians, if. In other words, here's people who are Christians, the Hebrew Christians, and he's saying, if we hold fast the confidence. In other words, there's a maintaining. He says, having done all, to stand. And this, listen to this thought. Let no man take thy crown. This is a person who has a crown. The concept of maintenance. I've never heard anyone preach it. It's taught very clearly in the Bible. Jude says, I call to remembrance, brethren, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward, destroyed them who believed not. That's Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified, and so on. He speaks of contending earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He's talking to Christians here. Verse 5 of Jude, I will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. In other words, salvation and then destruction. First John teaches this. He said, they went out from us, that it might be made manifest they were not all of us. The book of Hebrews is one long exhortation to experience Christians, not to flirt with destruction. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I never saw this concept of maintenance. I always pictured that here you had the church, which was a kind of a potpourri of whatever, but out of this group was coming overcomers. That's not the case. The case is that it is the overcomers who are the people who maintain their position in the church unto the end. That's what the Bible teaches. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, when it comes pruning time, and I believe that pruning time is upon God's people now, how many during the last month have experienced a severe test of faith? Let me see your hands. A severe test of faith. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. Now, you are in the church, aren't you? All right, what is your task now? To stay. To stay. Because if at any point you say to the Lord no, then you are not a part of the unblemished bride. You are a rebellious person. See, the standard is higher. We've had Christian people say, I know the Lord called me to be a preacher or a missionary, but... How many have ever heard any statement comparable to this? Or, I know what the Lord wants me to do, but... I really know what God is saying to me, but... Have you ever heard a Christian say that? Do you know what that is? That is a soul in whom God is making that soul a member of the church. But what is happening to that soul? They are not submitting to God. They are not submitting to God. Is that true or isn't it? You know, when God gives you something, you have two choices. Either you do it or you don't. And even delay is a don't. Even delay is a don't, because unless God tells you down the road. But if God says to you, I want you to forgive Sister so-and-so. I want you to forgive her. Did you ever have an experience like that? Just into your spirit. Not even an audible voice. Just a prayer. This is what I should do. And you don't do that. Now look at it from God's point of view. What kind of a person are you? Do you think God's nature, you know the Bible, do you think God's nature is such, he says, oh, well, you can't win them all? You think that's how God views things? Oh, well, I knew I wanted a bride without spot or wrinkle, but they simply won't do it. That's what we believe. Not in word or doctrine, but that is what we are banking on when we say that I know what God wants, but we are banking on God accepting disobedience. The church is holy and without blemish. But I'll be holy when I go to heaven. No, that's where rebellion began. Passing into the spiritual realm doesn't change your will. And God never will work against your will. Never. Praise the Lord. Now you say, "What, Brother Thompson, what you are saying is that if I'm not sinlessly perfect, I'm not in the church." If you go say that, it is because you have not listened to what I'm saying. I did not say that. I said, now let me go through it again, because the difference between that and what I said is close, but there is a world of difference. If I were to hear to say, unless you're sinlessly perfect, you're not a member of the church, you would have every right to just become discouraged because you know your foolishness and I know mine. That isn't what I said. You might be a babe in Christ, but you can be as much in the church as the oldest saint in this room. I didn't say, unless you are sinlessly perfect. I said that when God is dealing with you, if your faith rises to that challenge so that you do just what God said, not you met your standards, but that you obeyed the simple thing God gave you for the day, then you continue as a member of the church. Do you see the difference? One is saying, when I meet my standards of perfection, then I'm a Christian. And that's not what I'm teaching. And I'm not saying when you meet God's standard of perfection, you're a creature, you're a Christian. What I'm saying is that Jesus Christ died, shed his blood, rose, gave gifts unto men, gave the Holy Spirit, is making intercession so that he can bring every one of us in this room to a state of unblemished holiness. Do you believe he can do it? So all that you are asked to do by the Lord is very simple. Abide in me. Now, but the problem is that while we're abiding in the Lord, we are buffeted. And God superintends the buffeting. Satan has no part in it. Forget about chasing the devil. Who we're dealing with is God. And when something happens to you, don't blame the devil or people. Go to God and say, Lord, help. And usually the Lord will deliver you, sometimes on the spot, sometimes over a period of time. In rare occasions, he will say, as he did to Paul, this is something that you must endure for my purposes of ministry. But most of us don't hear that, so don't imagine it. Because that's a person who's in the fullness of ministry that God is keeping crucified so that the glory will not be from himself but from God. But for most of us, either it's something God will deliver right away, or else it's simply an affliction that God keeps us honest to pray. As James says, is any afflicted, let him pray. He didn't say, is any afflicted, let him rebuke the devil. It says, is any afflicted, let him pray. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. They say that Smith Wigglesworth was 80 when he finally was delivered from kidney stones. It seems from a fair examination of the text of Galatians, I believe it is, that Paul had a rather severe and disfiguring eye condition, and he just had to put up with it. So the issue is not whether we have pain or whether we're successful or rich or poor. None of these are the issue. What is the issue? Abiding in the vine, which requires obedience. Because how can you abide in the vine if you're disobedient? So the only responsibility that we have as a person, not to judge ourselves. Paul said, I don't judge myself. In another sense, we do. When we look to ourselves that we're in the faith. But all that God requires of you and me today, in this day, the last day of July of 1981, I don't care what our problems are, how great or how minor, they may seem past deliverance, but they're not. God's bigger than your problems, your piddly problems. God's running the universe, and your little problems aren't a drop in the bucket for God. They're big to us, but God is able, believe me. He can turn night into day anytime he snaps his fingers. But the only thing that we have to do is not lose our faith. See, we overcome. We maintain our position in this glorious organism which is destined to be unblemished, to be an eternal part of Messiah, to rule the nations of the earth. We maintain. See, you come into it by faith and water baptism. Believe and be baptized. Now, just like you enter into the race, come one, come all, and enter the race. Now the problem is to stay in it. And let me tell you a secret. Don't look back. Amen. Don't look back to see if the devil's on your heels or anybody. Just keep your eyes forward on the goal. And I lost a race once, I'll never forget it, in the sixth grade. And there was a celebration of a field there. My relatives said to me afterwards, why did you look back? You can lose a race looking back. I found out, I was very mortified. Don't look back. Forget about who's behind. That's not your business. Your business is Jesus. And let me encourage your heart. I haven't had a chance to preach this year, but I preached two services last Sunday on negativism and the power, the destructive power in the morning I gave an altar call. I thought there'd be two or three people. There were two or three people left sitting, and the whole church stood. I guess it's because when we're tried, very often we're all the saints are tried together. And people were going under simply because the devil was saying in their ear, look at this one, look at that one. You know how he does? Oh, that one thinks this about you, and that's happening. And pretty soon they're speaking. It's all negative. You know, you talk, oh boy, I think she hates me, and look what he's doing wrong and all this. And pretty soon your spiritual life is going like this. And God doesn't want us to talk at home to our husband and wife about who said what, or she doesn't like me, or he doesn't want us to speak. Paul in jail, counsel the people, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. It's difficult in a time of negativism. It's difficult when the devil says, look what's wrong, this is wrong, that's, it's difficult to refuse to entertain these things. Forget them. Let them go. Say, God, lift it from my spirit. Lift every bit of criticism from my spirit. Lift every bit of negativism from my spirit. Lift the whole thing from me. Because I choose to speak of the, and to think and to meditate of those things which are pure and lovely. It's a commandment. Think on these things. Rejoice in the Lord. You can't allow moods in your life. You can't allow these down times. Get the saints to pray, your husband or wife to pray. And even if you're subject to moods, remember that you're in a weak spot spiritually, and do everything you can to fasten on the positive. Keep your mind on the positive things. You know, you can look out and the whole world is full with communism. Or you can look out and the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. You're looking at the same earth, and you can choose to look at the communists. You can choose to look at the inflation and the price of gas and talk about it and keep yourself lower than a jellyfish at low tide. Or you can choose to talk about God and His unblemished faith, the unblemished church, because by your words you're justified. You can speak before God and say, Lord, I'm so low, I'm in distress, but I know You'll deliver me. Or you can say, as we've heard Christian people say, Jesus let me down. Such a thing coming out from a Christian's mouth. Actually, Jesus let me down. God failed me. I know what I should do, but God isn't hearing my prayer. Oh, you will go down and down and down because God hears that thing. And he said, God would say, read the word. Is my hand shortened that it cannot save? Are your problems bigger than God? Does God no longer clothe himself with faithfulness? Is his word untrue? Is Christ a liar? The Spirit said through Paul, he will keep that which has been entrusted to him. And if you have entrusted your life and your family to Christ and are doing all, having done all, stand. Stand. You can do it through His power. Confess what the Bible says. God is faithful. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. I will never leave thee. They who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah! He that abideth in the secret place of the Most High dwelleth, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And we know that all things are made to work together for good. And if you will speak these things, then God will count you as an overcomer. We overcome, Revelation 12, we overcome by three things. Do you know what they are? Revelation 12. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and we overcome by the word of our testimony, and we overcome by loving not our lives unto the death. Now, if you hold back on one of them, on the blood or on your testimony, or loving not your life unto the death, you cannot overcome. These three things are absolutely essential to the overcoming life. And you'll be prodded and tested constantly in these three realms. Now, the blood is so powerful that even in the battle of Armageddon, Christ leads an army robed in white, but he robed in a garment dipped in his own blood. The blood leads the army of God because the wrath of God is so fierce that only the blood can avail, even with Christ and his kingdom. The blood, hallelujah, it enables us to stand before God. The blood enables us to stand before God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's power in the blood. He cleanses us through the blood. And though we stumble and fall, when we rise up and obey God, the blood washes away our sins. It's greater than the devil's accusation. It's perfect righteousness in the sight of God. The blood of the Lamb is perfect righteousness in the sight of God. Hallelujah. And if we walk in the light of God's will, the blood cleanses us from all sin. And so we can stand in the day of wrath. And secondly, we overcome by the word of our testimony. And what you say about your circumstances is very, very important. You can say, I'm a lone, lorn creature. You know, God's saving everybody in the church but me. Well, how far are you going to get with that business? That's the devil's territory you're in there. That's what he said to Eve. Yes, I know God said that, but you talk that kind of talk and or say, I know what God wants me to do, but you're in the devil's turf and you can expect the devil's reward. We overcome the world how? Faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. And it's the world that presses us down. It's the things of the world, the people in the world, the people in the churches. Everything is conspiring to cause us to believe that we will somehow be harmed, that even though God kept us in the past, the future will be a disaster, that we will not be treated fairly, that our judgment will never come to the light of day, and all these other trials in which we're tested. But when we keep ourselves and we say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Though he slay me, I will trust him. You see? And then Job needed the third death because he said, but I'll maintain my way before him. See, he got as far as overcoming through his testimony, but he still wasn't giving up his life unto death. He says, though he slay me, I'll trust him, but I'll maintain my own way before him. He hadn't got to that third part, loving not your life unto the death. But his testimony in God held up. You see, when others were saying to him, oh, you must have done something wrong. No. God. Faith in God. I know. And Paul in jail so much of his life. I know whom I have believed. Rejoice. Think about the positive. God has given me a crown. Praise the Lord. Praise. You can do it. But you see, we are in today a pruning of the vine. That's what the Lord said. He would prune the vine. He said, if a branch does not bear fruit, he'll take it right out of the vine. And then he takes what's left. And what does he do to it? Fellow. And the first thing you know, we're a little stump sticking up. And we said, what happened? Well, what happened was, you've got to wait a while before you see any growth. Yeah? But when you do see it, it will be richer. It will be fuller. It will be finer in quality and more abundant in quantity if you will just stay with God and don't go to everybody in town you can find, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. Go to one person in your church. Go to your church and let the elders pray for it. It's just as good as flying to Texas. It really is. Just have, if God's going to answer, He'll answer prayer right in your own church. Have the elders pray for it. That's what the Bible says. And then after that, believe God. Believe God. There's nothing wrong with you. You're being pruned. He says every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it. And you're every branch, He's going to prune you. Praise the Lord. So take heart. So we're talking about maintenance. And He says here in verse 5 of Revelation 2, where we read tonight, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. You see the idea of maintenance? Here were people, this is the church, this is not the church of Christ, it's the church of Ephesus. Big difference. And they have started out with a first love. How can many can remember your first love? I can remember when I was saved. It was back down the trail a little bit. But I can remember when I was first saved. And I tell you, it was in the Marine Corps. It was in the middle of World War II. And I did not have a lot of teaching on holiness. But I knew it was wrong as a Christian to keep on going to the slop chute and drinking beer. I knew that. I had bad feelings about the going to the movies. I wasn't sure whether that was right. Now, this was no teaching. I knew enough to forgive a brother. He stole my flat iron. A Marine stole my flat iron. And I caught it. He carved the initials out of it. But I caught him red-handed. And I was a Christian by that time. And he denied and everything. I said, that's my iron. But I've become a Christian in the last couple of days. And you can have it. And then he said, no, 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 it's you. And I said, nope. I'm a Christian. I walked out of the tent. I was on the island of Oahu. That's right. I knew enough to cease swearing. I knew that innately. And I began to read my Bible. I love the Lord. And when I had guard duty, Marines have guard duty of everything. They didn't have guard duty around the theater, and an open air theater, a big screen. When I was guard duty, what I would do, what I would stand guard duty, nobody said you had to watch the picture. I would turn my back to the screen and memorize the Bible. And pretty soon I was walking alone, and you know, no one ever bothered me in the Marine Corps. You can serve God in the service. If your son or your daughter goes in the service, you can serve God in the service. I was saved and learned to serve the Lord and love the Lord in the Marine Corps. And every night, the true Christians and the denominational boys would get up and go to church on Sunday, all dressed up. But the true Christians went during the week to a Quonset hut. Get up and get your Bible under your arm and take out while the rest were sitting in there and playing cards and doing their thing. And I never was bothered or persecuted, never once in the Marine Corps. Even one time when I had to exercise force and threat to prevent some people from doing wrong, they came around later and said, one of the ringleaders said, I was a Christian, but I backslid. So God, you can serve God anywhere. Praise the Lord. And I love the Lord. All I want to hear about was the Lord. Do you remember that in your life? Well, that was true of the Ephesus, you see. But they had gotten down to where they were church workers. They work like horses. That's what he said to them. I know you worked, you worked. But Christ didn't come to get the camel. He came to get Rebecca. Man, there's a lot of people that are acting like the camel. They work, they work, they work, they work. But what Christ is after is a bride. He's got a heaven full of servants, angels, and we are the servants of the Lord. But if we work so hard that we lose the love of Christ and are working because it's a duty, we have done what the Bible says. We have left our first love. We have left our love. We don't love the Lord anymore. In fact, we go home and gripe about how rotten the church is. What good is that to the Lord? You know, he looks down, what blessing is it in the church? They're all mad at each other and round, and the board is fighting and they're getting ready to throw the minister out. One family's ruling the church and the rest of them are ready for a split. They lost their love. That's no church at all. That's the mess. And he says, you're falling. See the idea of maintenance? In other words, you were a member of this glorious, unblemished bride, but you have fallen. He says, repent. So what do you do when you find out you've fallen? You turn around. You go back and pray through. How long has it been since you prayed through? How long has it been since you prayed till you touched God? Well, that's good. That's where it should be. Saved, sanctified, up to date. That's what you say if you're a Methodist. Saved, sanctified, up to date. That's a good Methodist. Brother Dahl will tell you that. All right? You pray. You don't get your shopping list and kneel down with all your burdens and go through your shopping list and get up with your burdens and go on your way. You stay down until you touch the glory, until you touch the fire, until you know Jesus has heard you and forgiven your sins and answered your prayers. I don't have time. Well, maybe you don't tonight, but you stay at it. Get at it tomorrow and keep at it. Say, Lord, I'm not leaving you alone until you touch me. And if you'll do that, I think it will probably take about a week or sooner, because you know, the Lord loves that kind of thing. And just stay there every moment you get. Oh, Lord, I love you and I praise you. Lord, it's been such a long time since I felt your hand. Lord, I love you. Come bless me. Lord, I've got this problem, but I know you're able. Lord, hallelujah, I love you. Lord, remember, Lord, I'm here, I'm down here, Lord, but I love you. I know you keep that up. And one of the times you're in the middle with your mouth wide open like this, and the Lord will walk in the room and your mouth will shut and you won't say a word. And when you come out of there, you'll know you done prayed. Praise the Lord. Your burdens will be gone. You'll have the, every time you try to pray for something, all you'll be able to do is praise the Lord and shout and dance around the place. A good chance your body will be healed. But you see, that's the way the Lord wants us to live, is prayed through. You won't want to talk, say a negative thing about a soul. You'll be so full of glory and joy, everybody will look good. Even the members of the church, even the pastor will look good. Everybody will look good to you, because that's where, that's the realm in which Jesus lives. And so that's where you repent. Or he says, or I will come unto you quickly. Now quickly with the Lord sometimes is 2,000 years. So don't hold your breath, but watch your step. He says, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. That was 2,000 years ago. But anyway, be sure he'll come. And he gives you a chance. And now look at this remarkable statement. I'll remove your lampstand out of its place. Now, there's only one place for the lampstand. And that's in the holy place of the tabernacle. The holy place of the tabernacle represents the Christian church. And the lampstand is in there in the holy place. And if Christ removes the lampstand from the holy place, where does he put it? Can't put it in the courtyard. Doesn't belong there. That's for the altar and the laver. Can't move it into the Holy of Holies. Now, if he removes the lampstand of a church, you know what he's saying? You are a church no longer. You no longer are the light of the world. I am removing your lampstand. Your anointing. Your ability to bear witness of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So here was a church, and I'm through now, so I can't go back and tell you all the wonderful things they were doing, trying the apostles and hating the Nicolaitans, and so the deeds of the Nicolaitans and so on. But this was this was one of the more favored churches of the seven churches. But the Lord's standards concerning his unblemished bride are higher than we have imagined. He is not content with Christian people saying, yes, I know, but, and I know I should pray, but, and I know I should read my Bible. That's not your unblemished bride. And so the Lord is coming today to us, and He's saying, look, I'm going to have a bride. I'm going to have a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And it's going to rule the works of God's hands. They're going to reign forever and ever. He that is least shall be as David. A little one shall be a thousand, a small one, a strong nation. He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. A man filled with the Holy Spirit from the world. That's the standard of the body of Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you can be in it, and I can be in it. But in the days to come, unless I'm not hearing the Spirit correctly, the Lord is going to prune both the vine and also the branches. The race is going to get swifter. But the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. The race goes to those who wait upon the Lord. And the victory is won by those who do not trust themselves, but trust God. Praise the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Lord, I feel tonight there may be some among us, Lord, who have suffered from the great cascade of negative doubts and fears and discouragement, Lord, and murmurings and accusations and criticisms of the brethren which have been dumped out, it seems, upon us as a special test during the month of July. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While every head is bowed, is there anyone? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to test the spirit here. Is there anyone here who has suffered from this kind of thing? Just slip your hand up over the last, as those hands, 2, 3, that's what I figured. Usually 4, when God puts me on 5, when God puts me on a thing like this, usually there's problems. All right, well, then you can agree with me. Just this cascade of negative thoughts until we can't get back up, spiraling back up in Jesus. All right. All right. Now, Lord, You said to us, if there be anything that's pure, anything that's lovely, think on these things. Now, Lord, that's our objective. That's our objective. And we say that God is the overcomer. We say that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Let's say that together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, in Your name, in Your name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus the Lord, hallelujah, we come right now in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus, and we come against the spirits of negative thinking and negative speaking. We come against every demon of criticism, of gossiping, of evil, down, judging ourselves, judging our brothers, criticizing. We come against you, Satan, and we bind you at the root, and we command you to leave this congregation now in the name of Jesus. Leave us. You accuser of the brethren, we bind you at the root. We bind you. You do not belong in the kingdom of God. We bind you. Every spirit that would disbelieve God, we bind you, you disbelieving spirit. We bind you at the root, and we command you to leave this church right now, this building, these people, We command you to leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We contest for faith in God, the faith which was once and for all time delivered to us. We seize it. We hold it. We believe that we can make it to the end. We believe that we can jump every hurdle that is presented to us by the grace of Jesus Christ. We love God. We obey God. We do not disobey God. Hallelujah. We forgive every human being now. We forgive them freely. Freely. We, hallelujah, without reservation of any kind, we forgive freely. Agree with me now. We come against every spirit of bitterness. Leave us in the name of Jesus. Leave us in the name of Jesus. We bind you at the root. You cannot stay among God's people. We bind you at the root of you. Darkness, leave us. Leave us. We will not come short of the glory of God. We will not envy. We will not disbelieve God. We believe God for the solution to our problems. We know that God has heard us. We do not feel sorry for ourselves. Everyone that agrees with me will come against self-pity right now in the name of Jesus. You do not belong in the kingdom of God, you fleshly thing. We bind you at the root. You devil of self-pity, leave us. Come out in Jesus' name. The root of you, come out from us. Now, in Jesus' name, leave this building now. Root of you. Do not receive you. We do not want sympathy from man or God. We're not asking for sympathy. Mercy from God, but we ask no sympathy. No sympathy. Be gone from us. We do not want you, you fleshly thing. We will not stand for you. We are children of God. We have nothing to feel sorry or bad about. We are in our training program and we are conquering through Jesus Christ. We are conquering. We are overcoming. This night we have confessed our sins to God. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we do not judge ourselves. I come against every spirit of self-judging in the name of Jesus. Leave us. Leave us, you accusing thing. We do not give you any place, any room in the kingdom of God. You do not belong. We rule you in the name of Jesus. Be cast out. Be cast out into outer darkness. Every trace of you that causes us to condemn ourselves. God is our judge. We cast ourselves upon God. We do not judge ourselves. We do not berate ourselves. We do not succumb to woe is me. We are God's children, and God heals us. And if we suffer, it's for our good. And God has done us nothing but good all our days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. We're speaking faith tonight, saints. We're speaking faith in God. We're telling the heavens and the earth that God is to be trusted, that God's word is true. Let every man be a liar. We're telling the heavens and the earth that God is true. We're overcoming by the word of our testimony. We're saying that God is true and that He has called us with an eternal calling. And that He will keep that which we have entrusted to Him against the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we have nothing to fear. And God has not given us the spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and discipline. Hallelujah. Disciplined mind. Hallelujah, Lord. We choose to see the glory of God. We choose to think on the things that are lovely. You will answer every one of our prayers. Come on, saints. Lift your hand to God. He will answer every one of your prayers. He will answer them. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He will answer your prayers. He's heard you, saints. The answer's on the way. Hallelujah. You haven't asked in vain. You've asked in Jesus' name. And God's making it possible for you to receive the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Follow the fire of God's word by night, and there'll be the cloud in the morning with the rain and the refreshing and the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows where you are, who you are. God does not slumber nor sleep. He keeps Israel. Hallelujah. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's promised to feed you and to clothe you. Hallelujah. Praise your name. God is faithful. Hallelujah. His name is faithful. Call unto me, he says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hallelujah. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Praise the Lord. There shall no plague come nigh thee. Hallelujah. God is greater than all. No man is able to pluck us out of Christ's hand, because God has given us to Jesus Christ. And no man can pluck them out of God's hand. Pluck us out of God's hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Not life, not death, not angels, not principalities, not powers, things present or things to come. Nothing. And though we're killed all day as sheep for the slaughter, yet our end is glorious. Hallelujah. Our end is glorious in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking faith tonight. We're reminding God of what he said and standing in what God has said. And we're overcoming the world by faith in what God has said. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We trust you. And we know we'll never be moved. Never be moved. Heaven and earth will pass away, but we'll never be moved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.